Allow the afternoon play, a mystery story based on real events in which two authors find themselves in pursuit of a third.
Sherlock Holmes cast a long shadow over my life. 40 years after I first created him, his name was still synonymous with my own. At first I rejoiced in his success, later I resented it. By the winter of 1926, I preferred not to think of it at all. Little did I suspect then that a mystery concerning one of my fellow authors would persuade me to adopt the mantle of detective myself and employ the methods of a man I tried so hard to forget.
The Case of the Vanishing Author by Stephen Sheridan.
Thank you, Mrs. Hubbard. That was very nice.
You haven't eaten much, ma'am. Were the kippers not to your liking?
The kippers were excellent. I just don't have much of an appetite.
There you are, Agatha. Have you seen my cufflinks anywhere?
Find your own cufflinks. I'm not your skivvy.
Thank you, Mrs. Hubbard. That'll be all.
Very good, sir.
For heaven's sake, Agatha, must you constantly show me up in front of the servants?
You're still going to Surrey for the weekend, I take it.
What if I am?
You're my husband, Archie. Yet I seem to see less of you than most of your friends.
Oh, don't start all that again. You know how I hate it when people make a fuss.
I'm lonely, Archie. It's less than 6 months since Mother died.
We've got Charlotte.
Charlotte's gone Christmas shopping. She won't be back until nightfall.
Surely you must have some work you can be getting on with. Aren't you meant to be writing some more Poirot stories for the sketch?
Let me come with you, Archie. We never go away together anymore.
You'd be bored, Agatha. Honestly. I intend to spend most of my time on the golf course.
Please, Archie, don't leave me here on my own.
I'm sorry, but I don't see any point in prolonging this conversation. I still have to find my cufflinks.
Oh, that's right. Walk away. Pretend there isn't a problem.
We'll talk again when you're a little more rational.
It's all going to end in tears, Archie. You know that, don't you? It's all going to end in tears. And sooner than you think.
Hello, I'm back.
Oh, Miss Charlotte, it's you.
You're up late, Mrs. Hubbard.
I thought you might be the mistress.
Isn't Mrs. Christie at home?
No. She took off in her car just before 10.
That's odd. Did she say where she was going?
I'm afraid not. But she seemed very angry and upset.
Oh?
It turned me over something rotten seeing her so distressed. I had to have a glass of sherry to steady my nerves.
I hope she's all right.
Oh, I hope so too. But there was madness in her eyes. I tell you, Miss Charlotte, I fear for her life.
Archie, are you decent?
Come in, old man. Isn't it a glorious morning? As soon as I've finished shaving, we'll hit the links.
Oh, we won't be playing any golf today, I'm afraid. That was your wife's secretary on the telephone.
Oh?
Well, I'm not entirely sure what's happened. But she's just had a visit from the police.
Colonel Christie?
Yes?
I'm Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood. This is my colleague, Chief Inspector Castle.
Look here, gentlemen, what's all this about? I don't appreciate being summoned home at such short notice.
Well, would you mind telling us what type of car your wife drives?
I beg your pardon?
Answer the question, sir.
She drives a Morris Cowley, if you must know. I bought it for her myself.
A vehicle matching that description was found at 7 o'clock this morning. It had been driven off the road and come to rest on the edge of a chalk pit.
My God.
A young lad discovered it on his way to work. Are you familiar with Newlands Corner at all?
Newlands Corner? I've never heard of the place.
It's an isolated beauty spot on the Surrey Downs. Very picturesque in the summer, I understand. But not the sort of place you want to find yourself on a freezing December morning.
Never mind the topographical detail. Tell me about Agatha. Is she all right?
That's just the trouble, sir. We don't rightly know.
I'm not sure I follow.
We identified the car's owner by a driver's license we found on the back seat. But of the driver herself, there wasn't a sign. Your wife, Colonel Christie, has vanished into thin air.
Pressure in their element. They haven't given a story this much coverage since the general strike.
What do you expect? It's not every day a famous author goes missing. Am I mentioned at all?
I'm sorry, sir.
Not that it matters, of course. I'm just curious.
You're referred to once or twice. They're more interested in Colonel Christie. They seem to find him rather charming.
So was Dr. Crippen, by all accounts.
What are we going to do next, sir?
I think it's time we organise another search of Newman's Corner.
We've searched it 3 times already.
Nobody's heard from Mrs. Christie for almost a week. It's a china orange to Lombard Street. We'll find her lying face down in a ditch somewhere.
The press aren't going to be very pleased, sir. They think you spend too much time searching the Downs already.
What do they expect me to do?
I'm not sure, sir. But they don't think you've handled the case with much imagination.
I'll solve it eventually, Castle. You can be certain of that. But it's bound to take time.
Yes, sir.
I'm dealing with a very unusual woman. Agatha Christie spends her days plotting mysteries and disappearances.
I wonder, sir. Perhaps we should set a thief to catch a thief.
What are you talking about, Castle?
Do you know who's the Deputy Lieutenant of Surrey?
Who?
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, sir. The Sherlock Holmes man.
I know who Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is, Castle. I used to buy the Strand every month when I was younger.
It's only an honorary title, of course. He got it when he was knighted. But it might give us an excuse to call him in.
What exactly are you suggesting?
Well, why not pay him a visit, sir? See if he can tell us how a crime writer's mind works. The press would love it.
No doubt they would. I'm not the sort of man who allows himself to be influenced by journalists.
No, sir. I'll make a start on organising that search, then.
Do they really call me unimaginative?
See for yourself.
Tell me, Castle. Where exactly does Conan Doyle live?
You can tell he's an author. I don't think I've ever seen so many books in a single room.
Look, Castle. Beaton's Christmas Annual.
I'm sorry, sir?
It's got the first Sherlock Holmes story in it, A Study in Scarlet. By a man's fingernails, by his coat sleeve, by his trouser knees, by his shirt cuffs. By each of these things, a man's calling is plainly revealed.
Wonderful stuff, sir.
The man who wrote that clearly knows the value of logic and reason. I'm glad I had the good sense to consult him.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Not at all, Sir Arthur. It's good of you to see us.
I understand you have a little problem for me.
Yes, Sir Arthur. As I mentioned on the telephone, we're investigating the disappearance of Mrs. Agatha Christie.
A fascinating case. I followed it closely.
Perhaps we're being somewhat naive, but we thought that you, as a fellow author, might be able to shed some light on the matter.
I'll do my best. I'm always glad to help His Majesty's Constabulary.
Thank you, Sir Arthur.
Now, I asked you to bring me one of the lady's personal possessions.
Castle?
Oh, this is one of her gloves, Sir Arthur. I borrowed it from her husband this morning.
Give it here, then. Let me examine it.
Watch and learn, Castle.
I beg your pardon?
What does it tell you, Sir Arthur? Is the uneven stitching relevant? And what about the smudge on the index finger? What does that signify?
I've no idea. Who do you think I am, Sherlock Holmes?
I don't understand. If the glove doesn't tell you anything, why did you ask for it?
Follow me through to the drawing room. There's someone I'd like you to meet.
Horace Leaf, gentlemen. A pleasure to make your acquaintance.
I take it you're some sort of detective.
In a manner of speaking. People have been kind enough to call me Europe's foremost psychometrist.
Europe's foremost what?
Mr. Leaf is a psychometrist, gentlemen. By holding a physical object in his hands, he's able to receive psychic messages about its owner.
I beg your pardon?
I first met him through my work with the spiritualist movement. He's one of the most powerful clairvoyants I've ever encountered.
Just a minute, Sir Arthur. Surely you're not proposing to solve this case through supernatural means.
What were you expecting me to do? Piece together a lot of tiny clues like the sage of Baker Street?
Oh, yes.
Sherlock Holmes has retired to Sussex, and I'm quite happy to leave him there. Only spiritualism interests me now.
I see.
Sir Arthur has become one of our movement's most tireless advocates. He's helped thousands of people to realize that death is not the end.
Some people find my enthusiasm for seances and psychometry a little odd, of course, but I'm not a man who's easily embarrassed.
No, Sir Arthur, I've noticed that.
Mr. Leaf hasn't been told why you're here. I'll hand him the lady's glove and see what he can uncover.
Forgive me, Sir Arthur, but I'll be surprised if he can uncover anything.
Well, you're clearly a skeptic. My friend Houdini was just the same. He went to his grave convinced that spiritualism was little more than mumbo-jumbo.
Is that a fact?
Of course, since his death, he's come back and apologised on several occasions.
Yes, well, thank you, Sir Arthur. You mustn't let us detain you any longer. Is he all right?
He's entering a psychic trance. There's no cause for alarm.
Oh, good.
There is trouble associated with the owner of this article. Is she suspected of some crime?
I'm afraid not.
That's just as I thought. But what of her whereabouts?
She's disappeared.
I'm yearning a name. Angela. No, Agatha.
Astonishing.
The case has been widely reported, sir.
Many people think her dead, but they are wrong. She will be heard from again soon.
I hope you're making a note of all this.
Don't worry, Sir Arthur. It's not something I'll easily forget.
Wait. There's more. I see water, a bath, or an ocean, or possibly a pond. When this lady is found, there will be water close by.
Mad as a hatter, sir. Him and his friend.
Very Uncastle. You're insulting one of my heroes.
I'm sorry, sir, but really. He'll be seeing fairies at the bottom of his garden next.
Ah, they're a rum lot, these novelists. Spending all day making up stories seems to add all their wits.
What should we do next?
Oh, get up with organising that search. Contact the press and tell them we need volunteers. And Castle?
Yes, sir?
Not a word about Sir Arthur. If any of this comes up, we'll be laughed off the force.
Good morning, Colonel Christie. The papers have arrived.
I haven't time to read them now, Charlotte. I've decided to go into the office.
Are you sure that's wise? No one's heard from Mrs. Christie for over a week. It might look as though you no longer care.
I fail to see how moping at home will help matters.
I know it's not my place to say, sir, but don't you think it's time you told the police everything that's been going on?
I've already furnished the police with all the information they need. The matter you're referring to needn't concern them. You are right about one thing, though.
Yes, Colonel Christie.
It isn't your place to say. You'd do well to remember that if you want to keep your job.
It's getting dark, sir. We'll have to call a search off soon.
We've had almost 200 people combing the downs. Surely someone must have found something.
An abandoned old perambulator and a couple of disused mattresses. Nothing of any help.
Excuse me? Hello?
Oh, yes, sir. Somebody wants to see you.
Oh, the frump in the pince-nez glasses.
I may wear glasses, Deputy Chief Constable, but there's nothing wrong with my hearing.
Forgive me, it's been a long day. How may I help, Miss...
Sayers. Dorothy L. Sayers. The name is familiar, no doubt?
Huh?
Whose body?
I'm sorry?
Clouds of Witness. Oh, come along, man. You must have heard of Lord Peter Wimsey.
I'm not sure. Does he live around here?
Lord Peter Wimsey is a fictional detective. He's the central character in both my novels.
I think I follow, sir. We've got ourselves another writer.
Well done. We'll make a policeman out of you yet.
Thank you.
I'm not so sure about your colleague, though.
I beg your pardon?
I've taken part in today's search out of loyalty to a fellow author, but I can't say I'm impressed by your methods. You're making a frightful hash of the whole investigation.
Is that a fact?
Have you asked the relevant questions? That's what I want to know. Was Mrs. Christie an experienced driver, or was she not? Were her car's headlights good or were they dim? And exactly how familiar was she with Newland's Corner?
Well...
Oh, it's just as I feared. You haven't a clue what you're doing.
Look here, Miss Sayers.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm sure you're perfectly splendid at finding lost bicycles and such, but a case like this requires subtle and creative thinking.
Perhaps you should have a go at solving it yourself.
That's precisely what I propose. Only a fellow author can unlock the intricacies of Mrs. Christie's mind, so I've decided to offer you my services.
That's very good of you, Miss Sayers, but we've already been down that road.
Oh.
Spending so much time finding lost bicycles has taught us one or two tricks. We consulted Sir Arthur Conan Doyle just the other day.
I've clearly underestimated you, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. An excellent choice.
Yeah, that's what we thought. But it seems he's more interested in seances than sleuthing.
He wanted us to join forces with a glorified fortune teller.
Stuff and nonsense. A man of his intelligence wouldn't stoop to such utter folly.
I hope you're not doubting our word.
You clearly approached him in completely the wrong way. Perhaps if I were to speak to
this
him...
This is a police matter, Miss Sayers. If we want the help of any more civilians, we'll ask for
but
it.
But surely...
You'll have to excuse me, I'm afraid. It's getting late. I still have things to do.
Yes, of course, I quite understand. And don't worry. I'll leave the matter entirely in your hands.
Thank you, Miss Sayers. Come along, Castle.
Until I've had a chance to talk to Sir Arthur.
Are you sure I can't press you to a glass of sherry? Oh,
perhaps just a little one.
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with your work. I don't read much fiction anymore.
Lord Peter has yet to achieve the popular acclaim of Mr. Holmes, but it comforts me to know that he's appreciated by a discerning elite.
Success can be a mixed blessing, Miss Sayers. Sherlock Holmes has overshadowed all my other work. I sometimes wish I'd never created him.
Oh, surely not.
This is a particularly fine Amontillado. I think you will enjoy it.
Thank you.
Now then, I understand that you want to discuss the disappearance of Agatha Christie.
I want to do more than discuss it, Sir Arthur. I want to solve it, and I want you to help me.
Surely the matter is best left to the authorities.
Have you met Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood?
He came to the house a few days ago. He seemed competent enough.
Competent? I've seen livelier specimens stretched out on a fishmonger's slab.
I must admit, the name of Lestrade was never far from my lips.
As novelists, we are uniquely well-placed to enjoy insights into Mrs. Christie's mind. Even a close analysis of her work may provide us with clues.
I'm not sure I follow.
Every writer has a number of tricks and techniques that he uses over and over again. Even the Sherlock Holmes stories are not devoid of them.
I suppose that's true. I rarely place Holmes or Watson in any real jeopardy.
Exactly. And the gender of letter writers is always apparent, and the obvious culprit is always innocent, and Holmes always comments on the singular nature of the case.
Yes, I know.
And how often is a murder just a hastily covered up crime passionnel? You must have used that device at least a dozen times.
Yes, all right, Miss Sayers, there's no need to labour the point.
Studying Mrs. Christie's work may tell us how she's plotted her disappearance.
I think this case will be solved in the field, Miss Sayers, not in the library.
But you are interested. I can tell.
It wouldn't be the first time I'd involved myself in a public affair. And a damsel in distress always brings out the knight-errant in me.
Splendid!
But I'm sorry, Miss Sayers, I haven't the time. My work with the spiritualist movement must come first.
Oh, Sir Arthur.
Death is just an illusion. People must be told that. There's nothing more important than comforting the bereaved.
The dead are dead, Sir Arthur. They don't pop back every 5 minutes to chat with their friends.
I'm sorry, my dear, but you're wrong. Mediums have allowed me to hear many voices I thought had been silenced forever.
And what did they tell you? That they're happy and content?
The afterlife seems to be a place of great joy.
These people you call mediums are little more than frauds. They merely tell you what you most want to hear.
How dare you, madam? 1 million people died in the Great War, my eldest son amongst them. Do you ask me to believe that they've all been blotted out forever?
Forgive me. I didn't know.
If I thought my boy's flame had been extinguished, if I thought he no longer existed on a higher plane, I'm not sure I could carry on.
I'm sorry, Sir Arthur. I've upset you. Oh, I'm sometimes just too forthright for my own good.
I think you'd better leave. I have a pamphlet to write.
I'll jot down my telephone number, just in case.
My wife will show you out.
Perhaps I shouldn't have come. Perhaps my entire scheme was ill-conceived, but I was only motivated by one consideration. I just wanted to do a little good.
It's a cold night, Sir Arthur.
What?
May I warm myself by the fire?
What's that? Who the blazes are you?
Come along, my dear fellow. You know my methods. Apply them.
No, it's not possible.
You've assembled a very agreeable set of rooms for yourself. You're to be congratulated. A slipper full of pipe tobacco, and they'd be quite the equal of Baker Street.
Holmes, it is you.
Were you hoping we'd severed our association forever? You should know better than that. Even the Reichenbach Falls couldn't part us for long.
What do you want with me, Holmes?
A woman asked for your assistance this afternoon, and you turned her away. That was hardly the act of a gentleman.
I'd never knowingly insulted lady, but I have other things to occupy my time.
So I observe. The ink stains on your fingertips indicate that you've been writing again. The books on spiritualism that line your study, however, suggest that a new enthusiasm has supplanted me in your affections.
Was I wrong to refuse her request?
We had so many adventures together, you and I. Time and again, we set the world to rights. But what was the point of them all? What did they prove?
That the truth is important? That crime doesn't pay?
No, my dear fellow. They demonstrated only one thing. There is no higher calling than helping those in distress.
Arthur, are you all right? I thought I heard you talking to someone.
Look, my dear, over by the fire.
There's nobody there.
But I thought...
It's getting late. You must have been dreaming. Now put out the lights and come up to bed.
Bloomsbury 481.
Good morning, Miss Sayles.
Sir Arthur, is that you?
I've given a great deal of thought to our conversation, and I've decided to accept your proposal of an alliance.
Oh, Sir Arthur, that's marvellous news.
The lady's in peril. The authorities are baffled. It's up to us to save the day.
I'll be down on the next available train. But tell me, Sir Arthur, what made you change your mind?
Let's just say I was paid a visit by an old and trusted friend.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I can't believe it. I've loved the Sherlock Holmes stories ever since I was a boy.
Oh, thank you, Colonel Christie. My colleague has also published several novels.
Really? Not under her own name, I take it?
Oh.
Are you sure you won't draw me in a drink?
It's a little early for us.
I've had quite a few visitors since Agatha disappeared, but you're far and away the most interesting.
Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood has asked us to help him with his investigation. He feels we may bring some fresh insights to bear.
Well, that's odd. He hasn't said anything to me.
No. Well, he prefers to keep our involvement a secret.
Don't think I'm being rude, but I'd rather you didn't involve yourselves at all. I have quite enough people prying into my private life already.
Are you sure you're being altogether wise? The Deputy Chief Constable is starting to suspect that the case may involve an element of foul play.
I suppose he thinks Agatha's killed herself. What utter rot.
I'm not sure that suicide is the only form of foul play that Kenwood has in mind.
Just a minute. Surely he doesn't think... Not murder.
Your wife has been missing for over a week.
But murder? That's absurd. Who'd want to kill Agatha?
I like your pot plant. Some sort of begonia, isn't it?
Now, look here, Sir Arthur. I hope you're not implying
Deputy
that...
Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood is under considerable pressure to make an arrest. Until your wife is found, I'm afraid the finger of suspicion is only going to point in one direction.
I think I need another drink.
Are you sure you wouldn't like us to help find her?
Perhaps I was a trifle hasty. What do you want to know?
When did you last see Mrs. Christie?
On the morning of her disappearance. Look, I've been through all this already. I was planning to spend the weekend with some friends and didn't expect to see her again until the following Monday.
Did she object to you going away?
Not really. I have a very responsible job in the city. I'm sure she understands that I need to get away and relax from time to time.
You don't sound entirely certain.
You know what women can be like. No offence, Miss Sayers.
None taken, I'm sure.
She'd probably have preferred me to stay at home. But I can't always let her rule the roost.
Right so, Colonel Christie. Wives have to be shown who's in charge, hmm?
We exchanged one or two cross words on the subject. I freely admit it. But the whole thing was a storm in a teacup.
You were unprepared for what happened next, then?
Completely unprepared. One minute I was in Godalming looking forward to a weekend of golf. The next I was back here at Stiles being interviewed by the police.
Who was the last person to see Mrs. Christie before she disappeared?
Unless you count the servants, my mother.
Your mother?
Since her own mother died, Agatha has taken to visiting mine.
I understand she was there a few hours before she disappeared.
Would your mother object to answering some questions?
I shouldn't think so. I'll ask Agatha's secretary to write down her address.
Thank you, Colonel Christie.
I'm not a saint, Sir Arthur. I wouldn't claim to be. But I give you my word. I didn't kill my wife.
Mrs. William Hemsley.
Colonel Christie's mother remarried a few years ago, hence the surname.
I'm obliged to you, Miss Charlotte.
I know I'm only Mrs. Christie's secretary, but she's always treated me more like a friend. I hope you find her.
Thank you, my dear.
Perhaps I shouldn't say this, but if you do want to help her, there's something you should know.
Charlotte, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, Colonel Christie. I was just talking to our guests.
You've given them my mother's address, I take it?
Yes, Colonel Christie.
Then you mustn't detain them a moment longer. I'm sure they're both anxious to be on their way.
I'm afraid my maidservant has taken the afternoon off. Otherwise, I would have asked her to make the tea.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Hemsley. Miss Sayers didn't mind doing it, did you, Miss Sayers?
Not in the least.
This is a rare privilege, Sir Arthur. It's not every day that I entertain a knight of the realm.
Your tea, Mrs. Hemsley.
Thank you.
Only one lump for me.
This isn't a Lion's Corner House, Sir Arthur, and I'm not your nippy. I'm sure you can use the sugar tongs for yourself.
Archie told me you'd be coming. How is the poor boy?
Bearing up remarkably well, under the circumstances.
That's just as I'd expect. He couldn't have served in the Royal Flying Corps if he didn't have courage.
We understand that you were visited by your daughter-in-law just before her disappearance. Did she seem distressed in any way?
Far from it. I heard her singing to herself when she went to put the kettle on.
Was your maidservant away on that afternoon as well?
Yes, she'd gone to visit her parents.
So Mrs. Christie gave you no indication of what she was about to do?
None whatsoever. I can't say I'm entirely surprised by her actions, though. Her type can be a little unstable.
Her type?
Agatha's a sweet enough girl in her way, but her family isn't quite from the top drawer. Her father was an American, you know.
Good heavens.
And, of course, she's far too familiar with that secretary of hers. A proper lady knows how to treat her servants.
This is important, Mrs. Hemsley. Was there anything about your daughter-in-law that seemed strange or unusual?
There was one thing that struck me as a little odd. She wasn't wearing her wedding ring.
Oh.
It's the first time since she married that I've ever seen her take it off.
What a beastly night.
Please, don't shake out your umbrella in here. You're showering me with water.
Forgive me, Sir Arthur, but I'm still annoyed at that dreadful Hemsley woman.
She seemed hospitable enough.
Oh, you see the best in everyone. That's not a mistake Mr. Holmes ever made.
I take it you find her less agreeable.
I don't think I've ever encountered such a frightful snob, pretending she has a maidservant like that when she can't even afford to paint the front of her house.
Her observations about Mrs. Christie's wedding ring were interesting, though.
I agree. The Christie's marriage is clearly more trouble than we realised. But how do we find out more?
I doubt if Colonel Christie will tell us anything. And poor Miss Charlotte is clearly terrified of him.
Do you recall The Adventure of the Solitary Cyclist?
I'm not completely senile, Miss Sayers. Holmes visits a country inn, hoping to hear some local gossip.
You see what I'm driving at? Bravo! There's a public house quite close to where the Christies live.
Talking to the regulars could be instructive, I suppose. But I'm meant to be addressing the Cricklewood Spiritualists Association tomorrow afternoon.
That's all right. I'll go on my own.
Perhaps I'm a little old-fashioned, Miss Sayers. But I've always believed that women should be cherished and protected. I'm not sure I approve of them visiting alehouses unescorted.
Your gallantry does you credit, Sir Arthur. But I'm sure I can survive the experience with my virtue intact. Of course, I'll have to go in disguise.
I beg your pardon?
I've never understood why, but people seem to find me a little intimidating. Fortunately, I'm a dab hand at play-acting. I used to reenact scenes from The Three Musketeers when I was a girl.
Good heavens.
You should have seen me charging about the vicarage with my cousin Ivy, conducting mock duels. Lunge, parry, riposte. Lunge, parry, riposte.
Be careful where you're swinging that umbrella. You've just broken an extremely valuable vase.
I shall be Ruby Plunkett, a typing clerk from the East End of London.
Can you do the accent?
Lend us a couple of bob, Governor. I've just got out of the blooming office and I want to buy myself a glass of beer.
Yes, I'm not sure that working-class dialects are really your forte.
That's what my publisher always says.
Fortunately, my ear's a little more acute. If Professor Higgins could teach a Cockney flower girl to sound like a lady, I'm sure I can manage the opposite in an hour or so.
That's right good of you, Sir Arthur. You're a proper gentleman and no mistake.
On second thoughts, I need better make that 2 hours.
Yeah. Cold night, miss. What can I get you?
I'll have a glass of gin, thanking you kindly.
You're not from round here, are you?
I'm down visiting my mother. Her lumbago's playing her up something chronic.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
Terrible business up at the big house.
Here, you're not a reporter, are you?
Does she look like a reporter?
Well, he wasn't asking you.
Leave the poor girl alone. Reporter, indeed. I bet she can barely write her own name.
Oh, I wish I could. I'd give anything to be a great novelist like, I don't know, Dorothy L. Sayers.
Dorothy L. who? Never heard of her.
Well,
I could tell you a thing or two about Agatha Christie, though. I'm her housekeeper.
Get away. Will you join me in a drink?
Oh, well, that's very civil of you. I wouldn't say no to a small glass of sherry.
Come on, Elsie. Haven't you had enough?
That's Mrs. Hubbard to you, my lad, and I thank you to mind your own business.
I'm Ruby Plunkett, by the way.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, my dear.
Here you go. Don't drink it all at once.
I'll drink it exactly how I please you, cheeky devil.
Oh, I bet you could tell me a story or two.
That's better.
You look like a woman who knows what's been going on.
No, you're not wrong there. Mrs. Christie's secretary treats me like her own mother. What I don't hear myself, she tells me later.
Come on, then. Let's hear a secret.
Certainly not. It's more than my job's worth to engage in idle gossip.
Oh, you've been having me on. You don't know nothing I haven't read in the papers.
Colonel Christie's having an affair.
Never.
Where? Yeah. I bet you haven't read that in the papers.
Does Mrs. Christie know?
Oh, I've said too much already. It must be the sherry.
If her husband's having an affair, well, it's no wonder Mrs. Christie's run away.
That's what I keep on saying.
So she does know?
Why, you canny little minx. That's all you're getting out of me.
What's she called, then? The Colonel's mistress?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh, go on, I won't breathe a word, I promise.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Wild horses wouldn't drag Miss Neal's name out of me.
Miss Neal?
Blast.
I can't give you very long, I'm afraid. Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood wants me to take part in his latest search.
We won't keep you, Colonel Christie. We'd just like a word about Nancy Neal.
Who?
Please, Colonel Christie, we know what you've been up to.
Ah.
When did the pair of you first meet?
It's a very delicate matter. Do we have to discuss it?
There's no need to feel embarrassed. I'm a man of the world, and so is Miss Sayers.
I beg your pardon?
In a matter of speaking.
If you must know, we met a little over a year ago. We hit it off immediately. We both share a passion for golf.
How romantic.
You can mock us if you want, Miss Sayers. But Nancy and I love each other. We're planning to marry.
When did Mrs. Christie first learn of your affair?
I told her last August. Of course, she wouldn't even contemplate a divorce. I knew she'd be difficult.
Oh?
Well, she's a very possessive woman, Sir Arthur. Sometimes I feel stifled. That's why I have to get away.
Tell us about the weekend of your wife's disappearance. Were you planning to spend it with Miss Neal?
She was going to join me and my friends in Godalming, yes.
And Mrs. Christie knew that?
I think she probably suspected.
You should have told us all this a long time ago, Colonel Christie. You've been withholding vital information.
You sound like Charlotte. That's what she's been saying.
Where is Miss Charlotte, by the way? I'd like a word with her.
Wouldn't we all? Unfortunately, she's decided to follow Agatha's example.
What?
She's vanished, Miss Sayers. Nobody's seen her since late last night. These are Charlotte's private rooms. I'm not sure I should let you examine them.
Oh, stuff and nonsense, Colonel Christie.
We've come too far to turn back now.
I've also discovered that one or two items of Agatha's jewellery have gone missing. I'm loath to accuse Charlotte, but I'll have to tell Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood.
Talk of the devil. He's just pulled up outside.
Oh, I expect he's come to escort me to Newland's Corner. Will you excuse me for a moment?
I knew Mrs. Christie couldn't have staged her disappearance on her own. Charlotte was clearly her accomplice.
She seems to have left in a hurry, judging by the state of her wardrobe.
What have we here?
A cutting from the Times.
One of the advertisements has been circled.
Will friends and relatives of Mrs. Teresa Neal, late of South Africa, please communicate?
Neal. That's the name of Colonel Christie's mistress.
It's a signal. A pre-arranged signal. It tells Charlotte to leave the house and join her employer.
And the jewellery?
Oh, well, Mrs. Christie's bound to need money. Perhaps she's going to sell it.
We still don't know where Miss Charlotte has gone, though.
This whole business is so frustrating. I hope it's not about to make me go bald.
I beg your pardon?
I'm a martyr to alopecia, Sir Arthur. The slightest stress and my hair falls out. I had to sit my finals in a horrid ginger wig.
Oh. There must be someone Miss Charlotte would confide in. Someone who knows where she's gone.
Follow me down to the kitchen. I have an idea.
I've brought far too much sherry for one little trifle. Still, no need to waste it.
Good morning, Mrs. Hubbard.
Ruby! Oh, what are you doing here? What's happened to your voice?
Never mind that, my dear. We must speak with Miss Charlotte.
Oh, haven't you heard, sir? She's disappeared.
Mm? You once told me that she treated you like her own mother. She must have told you where she's gone.
I'm sorry. My lips are sealed.
Colonel Christie thinks she's stolen some of his wife's jewellery.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Charlotte isn't a thief.
You know that, and so do we. But if we're to help her, we must know where she's gone.
Harrogate?
What's that?
Well, why Harrogate, I wonder?
I expect it's very bracing at this time of year.
It's all so full of hotels. It's a pity Charlotte wasn't more specific about where she was going.
Tickets, please.
There you are, my good man.
Thank you.
How familiar are you with Harrogate?
Sorry, miss?
Have you ever visited it at all?
Visited it? I was born there.
Excellent. Then you'll be able to recommend a few hotels.
Ah, well, there's the Royale. The Splendide, of course. And if you're looking for a health cure, there's always a Hydro.
The Hydro? We found her, Miss Sayers.
Thank you very much. You've been most helpful.
A pleasure, miss.
My friend Horace Leaf predicted that Mrs. Christie would be found near water, and Hydros means water in Greek.
Oh, you know my views on the supernatural, Sir Arthur. But we have to start looking somewhere. I dare say the Harrogate Hydro will suffice. Hello? We're waiting.
May I be of assistance?
I hope so, my dear. We're looking for a friend of ours, Mrs. Teresa Neal.
This is absurd. If we're about to find her in the first hotel we visit, then I'm the Queen of Sheba.
She's staying in Suite 11.
You were saying, Your Majesty.
But you'll probably find her in the lounge.
It's a coincidence, a pure coincidence. Come along, Sir Arthur. This way to the lounge.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Christie.
I'm sorry. The name's Neal. You must be confusing me with somebody else.
You look tired, my dear. All this play-acting must be wearing you out.
You know, then.
You've covered your tracks very well, Mrs. Christie, but not quite well enough.
I'm Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? Good heavens.
My colleague is also a novelist. Allow me to present Miss Dorothy L. Sayers.
No doubt you've never heard of me.
Of course I've heard of you. Oh. I thought Whose Body was a remarkable debut.
Oh, thank you.
I can see the pair of you are going to get along together famously.
I hadn't realised that I had two such illustrious detectives on my trail.
We're merely the tip of the iceberg. Half the country is looking for you.
Yes, I know. The whole thing has got rather out of hand.
We're not here to accuse you. Just to talk. May I suggest we retire to the privacy of your room? Why did you do it, Mrs. Christie? Why did you disappear?
I'm sure you've guessed already.
Because of her? Because of Nancy Neal?
I had to let Archie know how much he'd hurt me. I couldn't think of any other way.
I managed to get 10 guineas for the earrings. It seems a pity to sell them, though.
It can't be helped, I'm afraid.
Miss Sayers?
Cashing a cheque would risk giving away your location.
I don't understand. What are you doing here?
You weren't difficult to follow, my dear.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Christie. I've ruined everything.
It doesn't matter, Charlotte. I couldn't have stayed in hiding forever.
Neither Miss Sayers nor I are police officers, Mrs. Christie, nor are we journalists. But we have expended a great deal of effort on your behalf. I think we're entitled to an explanation of how you came to be staying here?
Why not?
I'd like to talk about it anyway.
You knew that Colonel Christie would be seeing Miss Neal on the weekend of your disappearance.
It was obvious. Mm. Deception has never been Archie's strong point.
So you decided to spoil his fun by staging your own little drama?
It sounds childish, I know. But I didn't see why he should be allowed to enjoy himself whilst I was in such misery.
I was in London for the day. I happened to telephone the house and Mrs. Christie told me what she was going to do.
It was simple enough, really. I abandoned my car at Newlands Corner and began the 3-mile walk to Guildford Station.
You must have been frozen.
I expect so. I didn't really notice. I caught the milk train to London and then another train brought me here.
All this fuss over one silly man. I just can't understand it.
You've clearly never been in love.
When I was at Oxford, I had dozens of suitors. It always ended in disappointment, though. That's why I created Lord Peter Wimsey.
I'm sorry?
I wanted a man who would never show me up or let me down. And I knew I'd never meet one in real life.
I suppose I shall have to tell the authorities where I am.
It's a miracle you haven't been spotted already.
Archie will never forgive me.
You can do better than him, Mrs. Christie. You know you can.
You listen to Miss Charlotte. She knows what she's saying.
I'll let him have his divorce if that's what he wants. But I love him, Sir Arthur. I've always loved him, and I always will.
Are you all right, Miss Sayers?
I'm sorry?
You've barely spoken since we left Harrogate. That's not like you.
Lord Peter is always elated when he solves a case. But all I can think about is the misery we uncovered.
Fiction is simpler than fact, I'm afraid.
That's why we need it. How else can we impose order on our everyday lives?
Mrs. Christie's going to be fine, I give you my word.
Oh, how can you be so certain?
I'm a spiritualist. The future holds no secrets for me.
Sir Arthur.
She'll find the courage to divorce her husband. And then she'll marry someone more worthy of her.
Oh, and what does this miracle man do?
Oh, he's an archaeologist.
An archaeologist?
Oh, why not? It's a more romantic profession than working in the city.
And does Mrs. Christie publish any more books?
Dozens of them. By the time she dies, surrounded by her family, she's the most celebrated lady crime novelist in the world.
The second most celebrated, I trust.
She's stronger than you realize, Miss Sayers, and a great deal more resourceful. I can only think of one other woman to match her. And she's just escorted me to Harrogate and back. Miss Sayers and I made our farewells in London and returned to our homes. I was never to see her again, although I thought of her often. I did, however, receive a final visit from another of my associates. As I sat staring into my study fire, I made out a familiar face flickering amongst the flames. Lean, thin-lipped, hawk-nosed, could only belong to one man. He doesn't much hold with emotion, believing it to cloud the intellect, but I'm certain I saw him smile. I like to think that he was proud of me, his friend and creator, for the successful conclusion of a singular case.
In the case of The Vanishing Author by Stephen Sheridan, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was Derek Waring. Dorothy L. Sayers, Rachel Atkins. Agatha Christie, Alison Pettit. And Sherlock Holmes, Clive Merrison. Deputy Chief Constable Kenwood was Peter Ellis. Chief Inspector Castle, Russell Floyd. Colonel Christie, Harry Myers. Mrs. Hubbard, Jean Trend. And Charlotte, Lucy Fitchett. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Case of the Vanishing Author was a peer production for BBC Radio 4, directed by David Blunt.